الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد Allah Azza wa Jal, the most exalted, our creator, our cherisher, said in the Quran, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ How can you deny Allah Azza wa Jal and His commands and His existence? كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ How is it possible you could deny his existence and deny his prophets? كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ That you were not existing. You had no existence. تُمْ پَرْ مَوْتْ تَارِثِ You were lying behind the veil of non-existence. Nor your spirit was there, nor your any part of you were there. فَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ And He created you, He revived you, He given you life. Can anyone deny this, that they were not existing before? That they existed all the time, from eternity. Now everyone is born at a particular time. There was one time, what is your date of birth? And before that means that your physical existence was not. وَكُنْتُمْ مَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ He gave you life, He gave you existence. So it is the most precious thing which no human being wants to lose. And people going through the extremes to save their lives and save their communities and save their family, they go to extreme. It's the most precious thing which people think. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ And do you not know that He again gives you death? He again causes you to die and your physical body to perish. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ Then again He will revive you. The one who has created you first time, It is when a person makes anything, first time it's difficult. It is the material have to be collected, the design have to be thought, and other things it's difficult planning. Once it's made, then millions and billions copies are made. There is no difficulty at all. A car is made, a computer, a PC. If the new one is to develop, there is research required, there is finance required, there is resources required, there are people required, time required. But once it made it, so Allah Azza wa Jal has created you first time out of nothing. When you were nothing at all, not even some traces of you were there. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, summa yumi, summa yuhayikum, He again will revive you. How will He revive you? Like He revived, He created you first time. ثم إليه ترجعون, and then you have to return to him. Then you return to him. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving dawah, invitation to people, all people of the world and mankind, that ponder over your existence, that who you are, how long you live, and where you will go one day. Hazrat Uwais Qarni radiallahu ta'ala, one of the great tabi'een, one of the person met him. He was hard to find, so he met him somehow, searching. And he said that after leaving, after a short while, he said that, could you give me advice? See, could you give me sincere advice? He said, Hazrat Uwais Qarni said one thing. He said, know that your father and forefathers have died, and you will die as well, following them. And he said, it is sufficient for you. For an intelligent person, wise person, as they say, indication is sufficient. Ishara hi kafi hai. And for the other ton and ton of aqli and time spent on him, and books read by him, are of no use. So Allah Azza wa Jal points to the very important dimension which no one, believer or disbeliever, can deny, that they were not existing once, then they are given existence, then again actually they will die and perish, and then they will have to return to him. And nowadays it is more simple to understand the concept of cloning, and these things have made is that one person have millions and billions of cells, and each cell has the full code and full, you may say, print of the full body of that human being. So billions human beings can be created from one person, though this is not very much developed, but it, at least theoretically and some to practical extent, it is established now. That every cell of yours has the potential to develop into full human being like yourself. Imagine that Allah, who has given your cells the potential, and billions of people can be made like you. And when scientists, they are trying to clone, and what to say about power of Allah Azza wa Jalla? One cannot imagine. So science is not against Islam, but the scientific facts even, because science, what is science? Science is about creation, and the creation is the creation as signature of Allah Azza wa Jal, because it's created by Allah, the heavens and the earth. And when someone really reaches the fact, they should lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when there are theories only, there are many scientific facts which actually, they are not facts, but they are portrayed as facts, but they are theories. But when something is established really beyond the doubt and with strong proof that there is no possibility of wrong, then that should lead one more close to Allah Azza wa Jal. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that ponder over the creation of heaven and earth and yourself. That look how you see, how you hear, how easy you blink with your eyes. Ask those people that who, if something or some kind of fluid is missing, that they, it seems every blink of an eye is like they are blinking with sand or chili in their eyes. It is so difficult. But you blink million times, but it's so easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the joints, you move your joints. Who lubricates joints and they move to the time determined by Allah Azza wa Jal with ease? So a person, a wise person who is looking for lessons, he has millions of lessons in his existence, self-existence, and also the creation of himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ, how can you deny God and His prophets and His existence while you were not existing, and He created you. And then it's not that you are created once you say, by chance you were created, now we are going to live forever and ever. No, again, you know, everyone knows that they have to die one day. So in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, pointing at His servants, said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, that if you want to know the qualities, the traits of My people, My servants, the servants of the merciful, meaning the friends of Allah, or the righteous people, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned their traits and their qualities, that how they behave, what is their attitude towards life, what is their attitude towards other people living in humanity, Muslim, what is the rights of Muslim, what is the right of actually other creations, animals. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, Rahman ke bande, the servants of Rahman. First quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that no one can be My servant, My slave, or attributed to My friendship until he has this quality. First quality Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ, they are those, يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, that they walk on the earth with humbleness and humility. They are not arrogant. They don't walk proud with proudness and arrogance. Meaning they live their life on this face of earth with humbleness, humility. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. This is the first one. That's why Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmatullahi also mentioned that if a person wants to become close to God and close to Allah Azza wa Jal, close to His Creator, first he has to attain this quality, that he have to consider himself lowly and others superior to him. If he cannot do this, or he does not do this, he will not be able to get closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا, their mindset, their dealing in this world, their attitude, from every their action, their sitting, their talking, their business, their studying, their working, their attitude with other creation, it reflects one quality, it must, humbleness, that this person thinks the other is more respectable, the other is more better, the other is more superior. Our mashayikh even have said that actually they humbled with towards actually even kuffar and said that we do not know that how our end is going to be, the disbelievers. They say they might actually, they might behave. There is one story which gives this great lesson to people. It is about Hazrat Abu Abdullah Undalsi Rahmatullah Alayhi, a famous saint and famous scholar who was under Muslim Spain, when with the Muslims ruling Spain, he lived there, and then he moved to Baghdad and other kind. It is said that some of his disciples or some of his students were such great people like Hazrat Shibli and Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, which you have heard. They learnt knowledge from him. He was such a high ranking scholar of Islam, was Spanish, but Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, who is known to have the high ranking status over the Sufiya, over the saints and the friends of Allah, he was also his student. He learned some knowledge from him and Hazrat Shibli and other scholars. And the Khalifa and the kings of that time respected him due to his knowledge, his learning. He knew Quran by heart, and he knew about 300,000 sayings of the Prophet ﷺ by heart. Imagine. 3 lakh wo ahadithon ke hafiz the, 300,000 ahadith unko zubani yaad the of Prophet ﷺ. And so it comes that he has hundreds and thousands of followers, and wherever he went, people from cities were flooding towards him. The people were welcoming, and he showed very rarely outside. He was busy in doing zikr of Allah, and when he came out for preaching or came out for prayer, for salah in mosque, then people used to see him. And his face was shining, the light of Iman was shining. And people sought blessings wherever he went. And he was an honored person. Once he decided he was making a journey, he was traveling towards somewhere. And normally at those times, the mashayikh, when they traveled on horses and camels, and there were no aeroplanes and cars at that time. So people who seek pleasure of Allah and closeness of Allah, want to learn, they would say that we would not waste our time of our teachers. While they are traveling, we will sacrifice our daily activities, we will accompany them. And during the journey, because wherever they are going, it will take month, 2 months, some time. And during the journey, we will learn and benefit from them. Because when they are living at home, they are living, fulfilling the rights of children, they are living with their wife, their parents, and they are doing their own thing. So the person does not have enough time sometimes. But in journey, because the person will be free, he will be journeying. So that was a tradition of Islamic tradition. Ancient scholars, that they learned like this, actually from scholars and ulama and awliya Allah. And so this was also one of the journey, normal journey he used to make sometimes. And some disciples and students and well-wishers, they followed him and said, we will do ziyarat and we will take barakah from the sheikh during the journey. As the big caravan based over 100,000 people, big caravan, and with scholars and ulama, and whichever city they passed, the people came out to actually welcome them, and Hazrat Abu Abdullah Undalusi, rahmahullah, is with them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives honor to someone, there's no one to take it away. And when he wants to disgrace someone, there's no one actually who can honor that person. So Hazrat Abu Abdullah Undalusi, being such a great caliber scholar and righteous man, during the journey one day, the time of salah came. They were offering salah all the time when that there was time, but a time of salah prayer came, namaz ka waqt aa gaya, and they thought that they saw a village nearby, a town village. They thought that we'll go there to get some water and do wudu, and we'll do wudu there and pray our farz salah. So Hazrat Shaykh and others went there, and they asked people that where is the... went in around to see what type of village and locality, and they saw that most people, they were sun worshippers, Zoroastrians and some other followers of other religion. They were worshipping sun. वो सूरज को पूज रहे थे और फायर एंड सन एंड अदर थिंग्स सम वर वर्शिपिंग स्टोन्स सो दे वर नॉट मुस्लिम एंड दैट विलेज वाज नॉट मुस्लिम इट वाज इनहैबिटेड विद कुफार डिसबिलीवर्स सो बट हज़रत दे न्यू इट बिकॉज दे वर अंडर लिविंग द अंडर द मुस्लिम रूल एटलीस्ट एंड मुस्लिम आर्मी एंड मुस्लिम खलीफा दे वर दे हैव राइट्स दीज पीपल हु लिव्ड अंडर मुस्लिम रूल दे आर अहले ज़िम्मा and they should be protected, and they were protected. So much so that when the Jewish people were very much persecuted in Europe, they invited Muslims to help them in Spain. So Muslims went to Spain on the invitation of Jewish people, and they were persecuted very much. They said that we are Ahle Kitab, we are people of the book. They wrote to the Khalifa of the time, the Muslim Caliph, that we are also people of the book, and we are being persecuted by these people, Christians and other people here. And they were really persecuted and tortured. So to save them, and on their invitation, the Muslim army invaded Spain, and they became victorious. And for 700 years, Jewish people lived under the Muslim rule with great honor and protection, and under the Islamic caliphate. But that is, now they are offering thanks of that actually favor in Palestine, that Muslims have done so great thing to them, that when Christians and other religions were persecuted them, that they protected them, and now it is a way of thankfulness actually what they are doing in Palestine. Hazrat Abu Abdullah Undalusi, the city which he went were disbelievers, and so he looked, and some were worshipping the sun, some were, he went round for, and then finally he stopped at a well, big well, where old city fetched water. There were no water taps and like that, and it's about, I'm talking about 1,000-1,200 years before. There were no water taps. When they stopped at the well, they saw that in ancient tradition, if you are from Africa or Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, subcontinent, you will know that people, normally it was a tradition that women used to fetch water from the well. Aurtein jo hain, wo in water pots, and they used to fetch water from the well for the household. So the young girls would go and they will bring water. So there actually when the sheikh and the other followers went, they also went and they saw that there were a group of women, a group of girls, young girls, ladies, they were fetching water. They waited. The sheikh actually, unintentional glance actually went towards a woman or a young lady who was dressed differently, and the sheikh actually, just when he, as soon as he went, his glance actually went on her. He saw her and then asked the others who were there, other girls, that who is this girl? They said that this is the daughter of the chief of this village, the chief and the leader of this village and city. The sheikh said that why the chief, if he is the chief of the city and king and leader of the tribe, that why is he sending his daughter to fetch water? Why does he not actually employ any laborer, or he will have many workers and slaves at that time, people that they were slavery. The other girl said that his father is a wise man. He says that one day my daughter will go into someone else's house. I can employ slaves, but maybe if she is not taught and trained, maybe the house she goes to, they will not have slaves, and they will want her to do certain things in the house. And then she will cause problem for herself and also them. So I am doing his tarbiyat for the tarbiyat. It's not that he does not have the opportunity, he does not have the capability or financial resources. He said, I am sending this for this. So the sheikh silenced, and they went after doing the water fetching, and they did wudu, all the group, and hundreds of people, they did wudu, and then they offered salah. Zohar salah, two farz they offered the salah in the time. And the sheikh sat there after sitting, after offering salah, just outside the village. Because he was very honorable and respectable person, as I have said to you, that no one was asking, he stayed there, sitting there until Asr. And Asr time came, and he offered Asr salah, and then sitting there. Maghrib came, Isha came, he's there. There was no journey continuing. The second day came, same, he's there. Fajr, Zuhur, Asr. No one has the courage to ask this, hey, why he's there. Because Mashayikh has different, sometimes there are different reasons they do, so people respected. So they did not ask. 3 days passed. 3 days passed, the same point, and they were there. Then Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi, people sent him as their representative, that ask at least that what is the matter, why the journey has stopped, and why Hazrat is not going on.
Hazrat Jinnah Bhutadi said with respect and honor, I said, that Ya Shaykh, Ya Sayyidi, O our Master, that we are upset, that you are upset, look upset, and what is the matter, why we are not continuing in journey, can we help him? The Shaykh stood up and he delivered the speech. He said, my disciples and students, that when something is written in destiny, it happens. I would not hide anything from you, because these people, you see, righteous people sometimes commit sin. They can commit. They are not the sinless people like prophets and messengers. A righteous man, good man can commit. But righteous man dominates his good actions, dominate the bad and evil actions. But the difference is that he returns very soon. He compensates who he has wronged, asks forgiveness, or he has done a sin, he repents and comes back very quickly. So as the Shaykh said, the Shaykh Abu Abdullah Andalusi said that the love of the girl or the princess of this tribe have actually taken my heart, and I do not wish to go from here. So they were surprised and they were so upset that he was known in the Muslim world as a great scholar and a wali of Allah or whatever. And he would not go. The other people waited for more 2-3 days, and he said, if you want to go, you go. I am not going. So they went back. And when they came back to the place where they set off from Baghdad or which city, and when they knew what happened, the people in sadness and sorrow, no market was open, everyone was sad, but they left him here. He would not come. So Shaykh said to the tribal chief that I want to marry your daughter. The tribal chief said that there is my condition, at least that we happen to be there, non-Muslims living here, and we are Christians, and my condition is that you are Muslim and you might leave my daughter after some time, and I have no objection to give my daughter to you, but the thing is that you have to actually fulfill some condition. He said, what is the condition? He said, first is actually to serve my animals. In animals there were goats, there were pigs and swine, and you have to graze the herd for so long, and then I will tell you other condition. He accepted the condition, and he was grazing animals and goats and sheep and pigs and etc., etc., etc. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi or Hazrat Shibli says that 1 year nearly passed. He still had, you see, when a person have given a hand to someone and they love someone, still they have longing that they have gone astray or they have been led astray, but they still, he thought that nearly year has passed, I should go and see how the Shaykh is, how the Shibasi is doing. He went to the village and asked village people that 1 year before a certain big caravan came and there was a person left here. They said, yes, if you go on the east side, you will see him. And he saw the Shaykh, actually he had his stick, the asa, he used to hold it when he used to deliver khutbah, and he used to deliver speeches in Baghdad and in other countries and other places. When thousands and thousands of people listened to the command of Allah and his hadith, the same stick he was standing in front of pigs and goats and swine and grazing them. So he was very upset. He met him, but he did not say anything. He just wept and wept. And the Shaykh wept as well and cried, and he came back. And he also knew that the Shaykh actually has changed. The second condition which the chief put actually to change the religion, so he actually changed the religion as well. He turned back from Islam and he went. But as soon as Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi or Hazrat Shibli says that when they saw the Shaykh and they turned back, and during their journey, when they were coming back, very sad and very grieved that what has happened. They saw the Shaykh Abu Abdullah Andalusi actually just getting out of a river, doing ghusl, getting out of a river and reading the Kalma Shahadat, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. And he said that he was very happy to see, we met him, and he said that Allah Azza wa Jal has saved me and he has guided me back. And he went very happily with the Shaykh, went back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even after that gave him more knowledge than before. Unka taqwa to pehle hi bahut tha, aur ilm bhi Allah ne aur ata kiya. Allah subhanahu bestowed more knowledge and more honor and more ahil after he repented when he went back. But soon after some time passed, a woman veil, taking a veil, she knocked on the door of the city where the Shaykh lived. What happened was, after the Shaykh had went, that girl, the tribal chief, actually the daughter, she saw Angel Jibreel alayhi salam in the dream, Angel Gabriel, and he said that this is that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the true prophet, and this is the Islam is the true religion. So in dream, Jibreel alayhi salam taught the Kalima Shahada to him, to her, and she believed. And when she woke up, she was reading Kalima and she knew. Now she wanted to learn more about Islam, but there was no one to teach her there. There was only non-Muslim. So she thought she would go back to the place where this person came from. She wanted to marry me, but they said that he was a great scholar and he has gone back. So she inquired and went back to the city of Sheikh, and then she inquired where his house was. And when the Sheikh saw, she said, "I want to come. I came actually to ask some questions." And he said, "Who you are?" And when she removed her veil, and when the Shaykh saw, he immediately, this is the quality of righteous people, he reminded, recalled of the sin which he had committed. He fainted and he went unconscious with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. After he became conscious, he said, "What is it?" She said, "I want to learn Islam." And so he helped her and constructed a hut for her, house for her, and taught Islam and made such organized so that she could be taught. But they never met again. All the life, rest of the life, he spent in worship and other matters and remembering Allah. And he was always a scholar, so he was also. At the time of death, when she was going to die on her deathbed, she called and she said, "I want to see actually the Shaykh now." The Shaykh came actually and visited her, and she was on deathbed, and he reminded her of the Kalma and taught her the Kalma, and she died with tears flowing in her eyes. So she died and left the Shaykh. Soon after, about a few months passed, the Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undalsi also died at the age of 90 or so. He died as well. And Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, or Hazrat Shibli, one of them, says that when we read the janaza, and when we read the janaza of the Shaykh funeral prayer, after the first night I saw a dream. In the dream I saw paradise, that I was walking in Jannat. Maine Jannat khab mein dekhi, and I saw the Shaykh and that girl at least walking in that paradise. Wo that Jannat mein sair kar rahe the. And they were young, youthful age, and like king and queen, they were roaming around in paradise. And in the dream I asked the Shaykh, said salam, and Shaykh said walaikum salam. And he said that I have not been able to ask one question to you. Now this is the story actually ends here on this last sentence, so listen quickly. Otherwise the whole story is going to waste if you don't listen now. He said that I didn't ask you a question in your lifetime, but I want to ask this question now. In dream he asked question, that why is it that matter which happened to you? With respect and honor, I was not able to ask in the world. But now I ask, maybe I can save myself as well, that what mistake had done, you had done there. Or is there anything or you've done wrong, or I can save myself. He said, the Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undalusi rahmatullahi said, in dream, in from paradise, he said to him, that remember that when we were encircling and walking around the city and we saw some people worshipping fire, must we saw some people worshipping the sun. He said, yes, I remember. And they were all disbelievers and polytheists and mushrikeen. He said, at that time, in my heart the thought came that how astray are these people. That how I belittled them and said that with proudness in my heart that we are Muslim, I believe, we believe in Allah, and they are wrecked people, cursed people. He said that that time I heard a voice saying to me from Allah Azza wa Jal, that if you are a believer, you are a believer, a righteous man, with our fazl and with our grace. Agar aapko iman hasil hai, if you have believer, agar iman hasil hai, to ye hamara fazl, it is our grace and mercy we have bestowed upon you. It is not that you actually show superiority over my other creation. And if you want to see, then we will show you. He said, at that time I then knew that something is going to happen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that grace away, in spite of all that knowledge, in spite of all that piety and righteousness. Actually, he was deprived of iman. So Hazrat ne farmaya phir, ke second thing which I did wrong was actually that when I put a glance at that girl unintentional, I did not stop. It was a test for me, and if I had stopped looking at her or avoided looking at her, maybe I would have saved, but I was to be tested, so some means were actually made. But that was also, he said, a lesson for you, that do not look at unlawfully with lustful desire someone. You don't know what is going to lead to you, or what it is going to lead to yourself. Maybe it comes the lead, you will lose your wealth, you will lose your household, family, etc., etc. So, aapne farmaya ki bhai ye maine wo soch, so only thought. You see, awliya Allah, they are because they are very high ranking people, they are actually caught even at their thoughts level sometime, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So this story actually, only one point I want to convey to you actually, that even our mashayikh actually consider that one should not even be proud and arrogant over non-Muslims by thinking that I have got the truth and the others are actually that. No, you should attribute, if you are alhamdulillah in guidance, attribute to Allah Azza wa Jal. That it is Allah who has bestowed upon me this blessing, and I pray for this person that he also actually gets this blessing and be his well-wisher, and be a well-wisher and welfare of creation of Allah and the human being, not to be arrogant and boasting and being proud over them, because you will be deprived. You will be deprived. Like Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undalusi. To kisi bari fakran. To ye to hai non-Muslim ke saath. And we are just and Tawazo and Shaykh Abdul Wahab Sharani is talking about Muslim, then you cannot think about Muslim at all. There is no place left. There is no question left. There is no possibility left that if you would boast and you will think and believe that you are better than others, you can get closeness of Allah. The piety or little which twinkle of iman you have, that will go away as well. Or righteousness, whatever you five times or what else you pray little, that will go away as well. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Greatness belongs to Him in the heavens and earth. Greatness and glory only belongs to Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ. Badai jo hai, greatness, that I am better. It's only Allah al-mutakabbir. Others are servants. They should submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla in humbleness and to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and not boast over them. It is Allah who will decide who is better than you on day of judgment. On day of judgment, when you are in paradise, you can say that yes, you are better than the people who are going into hellfire. But that decision has not been made yet. Imagine the Shaykh Abu Abdullah Undalusi, in spite of such knowledge and such piety, he was deprived of iman. So I don't know, you don't know, that if we do something evil like this and boast over other people and belittle the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, then actually we can be deprived of iman or deprived of any virtue which we has. We are sent here to be, our Rasulullah SAW said, that I am sent as a mercy for mankind. Main ek rahmat bana ke bheja gaya hun. He came actually in a non-Muslim. He did not come into Muslims. He came to in non-Muslims who were polytheists and worshipping idols. So our should heart and yearning should be that actually, like, if you want to go to paradise and you want to enjoy life thereafter, that my fellow Muslim brother or your fellow human being, that he should also actually enjoy there with me. With this goodness coming from the heart, you should try to invite them towards eternal salvation. You have come here, I have come here, we have come here for dunya, for materialistic gain, for money. Some came for study. Study is also, that is a great beneficial to come for knowledge. So these people here, although we are here, are non-Muslim. They entertained us, they gave us refuge. Refuge means actually, at some countries you go, you are not welcome. Many other countries you go, you are not welcome. So they are your refuge. But dunya, you are earning dunya. You are earning materialistic gains and whatever good they have. For example, if they have the welfare system, you are using it as well. The job opportunities, you are using as well. The education opportunity, you are using as well. The medical opportunities and privileges, you are using it as well. So it is faithfulness. They deserve that you pay back by actually giving some goodness which you have, you think is goodness. And this goodness is not going to reach when you will boast over them or cloth them that you are cursed and etc. It will come with love and gentleness, that they have given the good of dunya to you, you thank them by giving the goodness of hereafter. No matter you have to listen to their sarcastic remarks, no matter you have to disgrace yourself, like the Anbiya alayhi salam did, it is still worthwhile. And this is the servant of Allah, and that's how a servant and a Muslim should be. So we inshallah continue on this topic inshallah next Monday. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك. بسم الله.